those if you'd like to. But there's a spiritual battle all around us, and God calls us to engage on a personal level for our family, for those around, and sometimes on a regional or a larger level, a national level. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you engage in spiritual warfare for your city, for your state, for your nation, for the world, for the body of Christ? How do you do that? Well, first, what you do is you have to discern where you're called to. You have to discern where has God called you to, because where he's called you to is where you have influence. Where he's called you to is where you have authority. So, I just thought we could start with this issue. I thought it'd be fun to just think about the females in the Old Testament and where they were called to, what they were called to, what was their realm of authority that God had called them to. So if you think about Rahab, what was Rahab the prostitute called to? Well, obviously she was called out of prostitution, but she was called to two spies and to her family. She saved her whole family. Everyone who jumped in the household with her. That's who Rahab was called to. Who was Deborah in Judges called to? Deborah was called to the nation of Israel. She was the judge over the nation of Israel. And then Barak, the general of the army, he didn't want to go out to fight without Deborah. So Deborah says, okay, I'll go, but the glory is going to go to a woman. And sometimes you're not even necessarily called to an area. It's because someone else is abdicating their position. And so God calls you to step up. And that's what happened to Deborah, because Barak was living in fear. But Deborah was called to an entire nation. What about Ruth? Who was Ruth? What was Ruth called to? Well, she was basically called to her mother-in-law and a barley field. And you can read the book of Ruth, but she was called. That was her calling, her mother-in-law and a barley field. And that's how her destiny unfolded. That's where she had this testimony that's gone forth to this day, by being faithful to her mother-in-law and being faithful to pick up barley in a barley field. It's incredible. What about Esther? Who was Esther called to in the book of Esther? Well, she was called as a queen to this massive empire that her husband had, 127 provinces from modern-day Ethiopia to India. And I looked at some estimates, and estimates are there was little over 100 million people in the world at that time. And his, Ahasuerus's, empire was around 50 million people. So she was queen over almost half of the world, which is crazy. But she had this influence, and she was called to the Jewish people as well. And so in your life, where are you called to? Maybe it's business, maybe it's neighborhood, maybe it's your county. Maybe some of you will be called on a state level, on a national level, but you discern what you're called to. How do you do that? Well, you listen to the Spirit, you get to know God. You see where you're bearing fruit in your life. You see, when I go here, I bear fruit. When I go here, I don't bear fruit. Listen to wise people around you, but discern what's this area of influence that God's called you to. You see this in the New Testament also. Jesus did not go outside of a small geographical area. He ministered a little in Samaria, a little in the surrounding regions, Tyre and Sidon. But basically, he stayed in this small little area. Why? Because he only did what he saw the Father was doing, and he stayed within that region. And he told the disciples initially, don't go to all these other places. He said, I was called to the lost sheep of Israel. Stay here. Stay within this region for now. Obviously, when he goes up to heaven, he says, now, go make disciples of all nations. Go everywhere. Paul had to do this too. He had to discern where God was calling him to. He did not try to take over Peter's role in Jerusalem. He said, you're called here, I'm called here. There was a time in Acts 16 where he wants to go into Mysia, and the writer of Acts, Luke, says the Spirit of Jesus prevented us. So the Spirit of Jesus said, don't go there, you can't go there. And then he has this dream of this man from Macedonia saying, come here. So he discerns, this is where I'm called to. Once you discern where you're called to, you know where you can bear the most fruit, where you'll have authority to engage successfully in spiritual warfare. So once you've discerned where you're called to go, the next step is you have to discern what's God doing. What is God doing in that area? What's he looking to do? What's he already doing? And you partner with that. You find out what God is doing. Think about just some of the examples, again, in the Old Testament. Joshua knew that God was calling them to enter the Promised Land, without a doubt. He knew what he believed. He knew what Moses had said. He knew the word of the Lord. He knew that he was called to lead them into the Promised Land. He discerned and knew what God was doing. Or you think about David when he was going against Goliath. He knew God was going to give Israel the victory. And so he went into the battle with Goliath with no sword. And he says, I'm going to cut off your head. And then he went and did it. And then there was a great victory. And they pursued the enemy all the way back to Goliath's hometown of Gath. So you have to discern, what's God doing? If you're just looking for what Satan's doing, you're going to get in trouble. If you know everything Satan's doing and have no idea what God's doing, that's not a good way to fight. You start with seeing, what is God doing? Maybe in your business, maybe he's calling you to start a Bible study. Maybe in your neighborhood, he's calling you to start some kind of evangelistic Bible study, or open up your home to invite people in. See what he's doing. Partner with what he's doing. And I've also found that not just seeing what he's doing, but when you see what he's already been doing, to thank him for that. Be thankful that there are Christians around. There is activity that God has already been doing before you did anything, before you had any say about it. God was doing things. You see throughout Paul's writings, he attaches this phrase, with thanksgiving. And it's often in the context of a prayer. When he's talking about praying, when he's talking about asking God for things, he says, with thanksgiving. Thank God for what he's already done. Thank him for what he's already done in your neighborhood, in your job, in your state, in your nation. You can't just focus on the bad things going on, but thank him. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It's worth not just focusing on the darkness, but praising God for his activity. I think about my area. I think about my region, my nation. Things that I'm thankful for that sometimes we can take for granted. I'm thankful that there are godly men and women who are in politics. Now, obviously, there's people who say they're Christians and are doing not good things. That's always going to happen. But there are plenty of godly men and women in politics throughout the nation. I'm thankful that there's so many famous sports stars that stand for Christ. I'm just thinking right now among starting quarterbacks in the NFL, I can think of a third of them that I've heard their testimony, heard them talk about being committed to the Lord and following the Lord. That's awesome. I love that there's people all over the sports world taking a legitimate stand for the Lord. I think about in my area in Lake County where I live, that many of the churches 20 years ago that were skeptical of the power of God, healing, signs, wonders, many of them have opened up and they're open to the power of God. That's exciting to me, because there are places in the world where they're very closed off. The body of Christ is very closed off to that. And so when you discern what God's doing, thank him for these things, worship him, praise him for these things that he's doing. So those are the first two. Discern where you called for, and then discern where you called to, then discern what God has already been doing and what he's doing, and then you jump on board with that. Partner with what God's doing in the area and the realm that you're called to. So once you discern what you're called to and you discern what God is doing, the next step is you have to discern what the enemy is doing. That's not your first step, but we don't want to be unaware. Peter talks about that. Don't be unaware of what Satan is doing in your area. So how do you discern what he's doing? Well, as I said in the previous sermon, there's a few main ways to do that. But basically, you judge by the fruit of a system or someone's life or a group. You judge by the fruit or you see in the spirit, or if you can't, you ask someone who does. So you discern what the enemy is doing, and when you fight him, you have to stay in your realm of authority. You stay where God has called you to. I don't believe I have the authority to just say, I command all principalities over the nation of India to leave right now. I don't think I have the authority to do that. I have to stay within the realm of authority that God's called me to. You have to stay in the realm of authority, whatever that is, however small or however big. Stay within that realm, and that's where you have authority over the devil. I think the hierarchy is God's up here, Satan's here, and kind of look like I'm squishing my head a little bit there, doing camera tricks here for those who are listening on the audio. But God's up here, Satan's way down here, and people are down here. Demons are above us if we're doing it on our own authority. But if God is inside of us, if Jesus is inside of us, demons are here and we're up here. We're not at God's point, but we have authority over them. If we're operating in obedience and union with Christ, we have authority over them. And if we're not, if we're going out on our own, if we're being a lone ranger, if we're trying to do it without God's authority, we don't have the power. We don't have the authority to take on these demonic assignments. So it's important that you stay within the realm of what God has called you to. So this was kind of brought home for me by some of my friends went on a mission trip to Africa, and they were interceding, and they start hearing, I believe from the Holy Spirit, but they start hearing the names of some what they think are demons or principalities in that area. So they start writing them down. I thought, this is awesome. God's telling us the principalities in the area. And they went and checked with local leaders, and they said, oh yeah, that's a God that the people worship. Oh yeah, that's a God that the people worship. And so they were hearing directly as to these principalities in that area. And so my friends started binding them. So I bind this spirit, I bind this spirit, I bind this spirit. And she became very sick almost instantly and had to be carried back that day because there was a spiritual battle. So what happened? Well, I don't know everything what happened, but I think she was stepping beyond her authority. Even though God had showed the names of these principalities, there was some level of taking on things beyond what she was called to. And so beyond just what you're called to, you have to stay within the scope. And I'm not saying this so that we're terrified of demons, but you have to stay within the scope and the area that God's called you to, because that's where you have authority. But before we go on, any questions? Oh, wait, we had already decided this was a recording, so I guess no questions. So you have an open invitation to stop by and see me if you want to talk about this or ask questions. How does that sound? So we're discerning what the enemy is doing. How do you battle against him? What do you do? Well, first I want to say what you don't do, you don't use his techniques. You don't use Satan's ways. And so I've heard people say things like Satan sucks or F you Satan, or like saying stuff they shouldn't be saying. That's Satan ways. You can't cast out Satan with Satan. You don't mimic his ways if you're trying to defeat him. We defeat him with God's ways, not with Satan's ways, okay? So there's so many examples in the Bible of how God brings about victory. But there's a common theme that runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think about in Jehoshaphat, it's a powerful story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's three nations coming together, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir. They're binding together. There's this massive humanity coming against Jehoshaphat and Israel, and their army was somewhat strong at the time, but not that strong. And so he's crying out, and he calls this fast, this nationwide fast, to seek the Lord. And then there's a prophecy that comes forth, and what he does is he sends the worshipers before before the soldiers to go out and worship. And some of you know this story, but he sends out the worshipers and they're praising God and they're saying, your love endures forever. And it says, while they're doing that, while they're praising God, it says God set an ambush and the enemy starts attacking each other and defeating each other. And Israel comes out and the whole army is defeated. And so what did Jehoshaphat do? He ministered to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He had the people seek God. He was ministering to God. That's how the victory came. You think about Daniel. For those that know the book of Daniel, you get into the end, chapters 9, 10, 11, and there's these cosmic battles in the spirit realm going on with Michael comes, Gabriel comes, these archangels, the prince of Persia, this demonic principality that Daniel and Michael are partnering together to defeat. And you think about, what did Daniel actually do? If you read through Daniel 9, 10, and 11, which I would highly recommend, all he did is he repented for his people, which he was one of the top government officials. And so there was a lot of people in the empire. There's also a lot of Jews in the Medo-Persian Empire at that time, in the Babylonian Empire. And he repented for his people and he worshiped God. And so I often think about in those stories, I think, wow, Daniel was partnering with these archangels and defeating principalities. But what Daniel actually did is he ministered to the Lord. He repented for his people and he worshiped God. And as he's doing those things, there's the angel comes and says, you're highly favored. This word went out. These battles were being fought. But Daniel's actual actions were to repent of sin and to worship the Lord and to minister to God. So it's the same theme. What about in the New Testament? What did Jesus do? Well, at the cross, which was obviously the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus was obviously his greatest victory. And Paul says in Colossians 2:15, that Jesus, at the cross, he disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. And so what did he do? How did he make this public spectacle of the principalities? How did he defeat these demons? How did he defeat this curse? Well, he obeyed the Father. He offered up his life. He sacrificed his life. He made sure his mom was taken care of before he died. And so you don't see him. What happened in the spirit realm was this amazing victory where the principalities and powers were defeated. And yet what did Jesus actually do? He spoke to the Father. He blessed his followers. He forgave the people that didn't know what they were doing, that were sinning against him. He wasn't on the cross saying, you're this principality, I'm going to get you, and this principality, I'm going to get you. He ministered to the Father and he ministered to the people around him. What about Paul? Paul talks about some of the passages I talked about last time. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, which talks about tearing down strongholds. What did Paul actually do? Well, I want to have you read the end of Ephesians 6, and you can listen to this. Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. 10 and 11, it's talking about the famous verse, we wrestle, 10, 11, 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. So Paul gives us language for these spiritual forces. And then he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. But I want to let you listen into how he actually fights. When he's talking about, you put on this armor, there's these cosmic forces against us out there. But I want to stop and we're going to listen to how he actually fought the battle. So if you want to read Ephesians 6, 18 and 19.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, for whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel.
Okay, so what did Paul actually do? He said, pray, And then he said, pray for all the saints, pray for God's people, and then pray for me that I can preach the gospel. So he's talking about these spiritual battles. He doesn't follow it up with binding all these principalities. He follows it up with pray for the people of God, ask God for protection, and preach the gospel. That's how you war in the spirit. That's how we defeat the enemy, not by trying to track down every demon, every principality. Now, obviously, if demon comes into your house or someone comes across who has demons, then you deal with it like Jesus did. You cast him out and you don't deal with it. But the greatest battles are by speaking truth, are by meditating on the word of God. The greatest ways to win of praying and asking God, of preaching the gospel, of going forth. That's how we win our battles against the enemy. That's how we spread the light of God, which is inside of us, and we spread it to the world. When we go beyond our realm of what God has delegated to us, we can get into big trouble. As John Paul Jackson says, he calls them needless casualties of war. But when we are walking in our authority, there's great power. There's great power for breakthrough. And I want to end with this story, which is kind of a lifelong testimony to me of the power that we have when we're listening to God, seeking him, and communing with him. So I used to always go to the marathon by my house in Gurnee because it was always like 10 cents cheaper than everyone else. And sometimes I would go at like 1 or 2 in the morning, talk with the guy working, and talk about the Lord with him, and share the gospel with him, things like that. But I began to be very grieved because it was amazing how sexual of a place it was. So in the bathrooms, there was all this bad stuff written on the wall. There was vending machines selling condoms and sex objects and things like that. And in the open there was like four rows, like four columns, all the way down the store of porn. Just massive amounts of porn. And you know, I had seen porn behind the desk before at gas stations. I had never seen it was just out in the open. Rows and rows of it, like massive amounts. And it was just very grieving to me. And I know, you know, there's kids, little kids would just go and look at it. And so eventually I'm like, I really want to save the 10 cents a gallon, but I don't feel like I should go here anymore. And one time I went with my friend, and I'm not sure why, but we went in and he saw the porn everywhere. And he was very grieved. I was very grieved. I thought, you know, I need to go back to not getting my gas here. And he was upset. And so we just said, let's pray. And so we're praying. And I felt this decree from the Lord rise up in me. And I'm cautious. Some of you know I'm cautious with my decrees. I don't just go decreeing. I decree a new house. I decree a new car. I decree every one of my everything in my 401k portfolio, you'll all make 100% profit this year. Every friend I have will come to God tomorrow. I'm careful with my decrees. I want to be led by the Lord. But as we were praying, I felt this boldness and this authority to make a decree. And so we're pulling out and I speak to the gas station and I say something like, I declare in Jesus' name, all of the porn will be removed or you will be torn down. And that's what I said. All the porn will be removed or you will be torn down. And I stopped going there. I started going to the BP station by me. And I was not too long after, I was talking with the guy at the BP station. And I said, yeah, you know, I used to get my gas at the marathon down there on 41, and he's like, I said, you know, the marathon on 41. He's like, no, it's a Citgo. I'm like, no, I've been there many times before. It's a marathon. He's like, no, they tore the whole thing down. It's a Citgo now. And I was like, really? So I went back there. There's no pornography there. There's no sex objects being sold in the bathrooms. It's just a clean, nice gas station. Now the price wasn't as nice, but that's beside the point. And there was this authority in my town, a few blocks from my house, where in prayer, God gave me authority to make this declaration. Now, were there others praying against it? Maybe. But I had authority in my realm, and that place was torn down. And the pornography was removed, and God was glorified. So, in recap, find out where God's called you to, or the place or the places God has called you to. Discern what God's doing and partner with that. Discern what the enemy is doing and partner with God against that. So I want to finish in a prayer for all of us. Father, in Jesus' name, may everyone listening to this know their calling. And if they don't, Lord, may they discern it this year. Who have you called me to, God? What have you called me to do? What are you doing in the places that you've called me to? In the city, in the state, in the nation? Lord, show us what the enemy is doing. Show us what the enemy is doing, that we can partner with you to defeat the evil one, that we can partner with you to spread the light of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. I love you all. And again, the invitation to stop by is, that's my invitation to you. And I would love to see some of you and talk about these things. But beyond that, God can show you. He can show you what you're called to. He can show you how to partner with him to battle successfully.